Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a true story packed with humor, strength, and courage. A true story of a man who folks in Frog Hollow once called the No-Account Loafer. Folks, the newest way to make youngsters happy is to send them Hallmark dolls. They're the newest idea in greeting cards. They're the newest thing in inexpensive gifts for the little folks. So be sure to see Hallmark dolls. Send them soon to every youngster you know. And now, to preside over our program in the absence of Tom Shirley, who is on vacation, here is your Hallmark host, Les Tremaine.
Thank you, Hugh Conover, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, everybody once in his life has a hankering to be a loafer, a real, honest-to-goodness, no-account loafer. I have, and probably you have, but most of us don't dare. Well, tonight you're going to meet a fellow who had the courage of his convictions. Pa never did a blessed thing. And the worst of it was, he enjoyed it. And so does the actor we've chosen to play the role of Pa tonight. He's one of the ablest, best-loved actors of the theater, and he's made a busy career out of playing loafers like Pa. You'll remember him as Jeter Lester in Tobacco Road and Slim in Of Mice and Men. His name is Will Gear, and his voice is one you'll remember well, a gentle drawl that's as pleasant as his easy smile. That's Will Gear, and that's Pa. But we won't disturb him, as the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present on the Reader's Digest radio edition, Will Gear as the No-Account Loafer.
Still sleeping out in the front yard?
No, Ma.
What's he doing?
Sleeping in the backyard now. The sun was in his eyes.
Bob Martin was his name. And if you could have seen him in an old stained suit and shapeless hat that seemed as much a part of him as his perpetual three-day beard, you'd have understood why people in this small southern mill town regarded him as the no-account loafer of Frog Hollow.
Pa? Pa?
Yeah?
Gosh almighty, man, when are you going to get up and do a day's work?
Oh, I'll get around to it.
When there's no jobs left?
Always jobs at the mill, Ma.
Then why don't you get one instead of sitting around here all the time?
I wasn't cut out for working at no mill.
You wasn't cut out for working at all.
Doggone, Ma, I ain't as lazy as all that. I go fishing, don't I?
Fishing.
All right, Ma. I know I'm no good. You don't have to keep telling me.
Pa.
Yeah?
As far as I'm concerned, you can live your life any way you please, only I was thinking about Sally, not me.
What about Sally?
Ain't you took any notice of her, Pa? Poor kid ain't got a thing to wear.
Huh?
Not even a dress or a blouse that ain't worn too thin to mend. She's ashamed to go to school and the things she's got on.
Well, why didn't you tell me, Ma? Blame it all, you know I care more about that gal than anything in this whole world. She's all I got.
I know you care, Pa, but you never do anything about it.
Well, doggone, if she needs a new blouse, I'm going to get her one. I can make the money.
You mean that, Pa? You mean you're going to get a job at the mill?
Mill? Oh, no. I don't have to work at no mill to make a dollar. I'm going to catch me a string of fish and sell them. Keep her rowing, Ed. Ought to be some more big ones in that shady cove up yonder.
Well, ain't we got enough to go home now? Shucks, how many do you need to pay for that blouse?
Got enough for the blouse, Ed, only I kind of figured I'd bring home a dress, too. Saw a nice blue one in the window for about $3.
$3? I ain't gonna fish that long. I gotta be getting back in or I'll be late for that poker game over at Birdie's place.
Poker? They playing poker tonight over at Birdie's?
Sure. That's why I come fishing with you, so I'd have a dollar to get in the game.
Oh, a dollar ain't much.
Enough to get started. Why don't you come along? You might win enough to pay for that dress and roll.
I'd lose, too.
Not if you play them tight. Gosh sakes, you've got as much chance of winning as you have of catching them fish.
Maybe. I ain't played for a spell, but I do feel kind of lucky tonight.
Why, sure.
The cards is running my way.
You could make enough money to quit fishing for a month.
Well, I don't mind fishing so much. But after all, a man has got to have some relaxation. Go along, Ed. Roll in.
What you got, Bob?
What is it?
Pair fours, back two, back.
Too bad, I got jacks.
Doggone, I knew you had it.
Well, here.
That finishes me, gentlemen. I'm clean as a whistle.
Better luck next time, Bob.
Yeah, I reckon. I just hate to pick myself up and go back home.
What's the matter? You didn't lose so much, did you?
Lost my shirt, Ed, and Sally's blouse.
That you, Paul?
Yeah. What you doing up so late, Sally?
Oh, just thought I'd wait up for you. Where you been?
Honey, I was, I was at a meeting.
Oh.
I was.
All right, Pa. You lose much?
Oh, gosh sakes. Can't fool you about anything, can I?
I don't know why you'd want to, Pa. I'd never want to fool you.
Well, we're a little different, sugar. You're all the things I wish I was, and I'm, what's left over.
You're plenty good enough for me, Pa.
Hey, you don't know me, honey. You don't know what I did tonight. I took the money for your blouse and gambled away in a poker game.
That's all right, Pa. I don't mind about the blouse.
Well, I do. I'm ashamed of myself, through and through.
Oh, stop thinking about it, Pa. I'm not ashamed of you.
Ain't you, Sally? Don't you ever wish you were somebody else's daughter?
No.
Well, I wouldn't give you up for the world, honey, but I do wish I was somebody else's Pa.
Before you strangle yourself
snoring.
Huh? What's the matter?
Nothing. I just didn't want you to break the record for continuous sleep.
Oh, gosh, almighty, Ma. That's no way to wake a man up. I thought the house was on fire.
No wonder you were scared. You was afraid you'd have to do something to put it out.
Sally? Yeah, Ma. Yeah, say, what's the trouble, girl? I don't want to live here anymore. I want to move away from this town and never come back again.
What?
Here now, here, you stop crying your eyes out. Tell us what happened.
He laughed at me, Pa. Made fun of me all up because I wasn't invited to the party.
What party? Who laughed at you, Sugar? Who made fun of you?
The kids at school. They wouldn't invite me to the senior party because he said I looked so tacky.
Why, those calls, son?
Said I was nothing but frog hollow trash. Common as pig tracks and not a decent dress to my name.
Who said that?
All of them. All of them that live up there on Quality Row.
Them dad blasted snobs. Just because their folks got some money, they think they can lord it all over us poor people.
They said you were a loaf of Pa. A no-account loaf that wasn't good for anything but selling fish.
They set that me. No sniveling, no good money bag hypocrites. By gosh almighty, I'll teach him a thing or two. Where's my gun?
Oh, hush your mouth, Dan, and stop making such a show. You know you ain't cleaned your gun in so long, it's rusted stiff.
Well, I gotta do something, don't I? We've been insulted.
Insulted or just told the truth?
I don't care. Nobody's gonna tell me the truth and get away with it.
Oh, Paul. Oh, please don't make any trouble. It'll only be worse.
Don't you worry about me, honey. I ain't afraid of them swells up on Quality Row, and I am going to tell them so.
Oh, you stay right where you are.
Let them think Sally ain't good enough to mix in their crowd. You can't stop me, Ma. I'm going to go up there tonight and uphold the honor of our family name. Tell Mr. Shugart he don't know how to run a school.
You're a woodlouse, Mr. Shugart.
Here, stop that shouting.
Well, he is. Letting them kids make fun of Sally, letting them break her heart. She's the best student he'll ever have.
All right.
You're a woodlouse, Mr. Shugart.
I told you to keep quiet, Bob. One more peep out of you and I'll run you in.
You ought to run him in, not me. The high school needs a new principal.
Oh, remember what I told you, Bob. One more peep out of you.
Just one, Henry.
Just one.
Okay, Constable.
You're a woodlouse, Mr. Shugart.
Come on, you no-count lover, you're going to jail.
We'll be back in just a minute with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. And now listen to what Peg's telling Grandpa tonight.
Gee, I wish something nice would happen to Sally. Something as nice as happened to me today.
Yeah?
Just could you help Mommy dry the dishes? Look what you brought me from the store. Another Hallmark doll.
Well, which one, Peg?
Mary, quite contrary. Now I've got six. Gee, collecting Hallmark dolls is more fun than anything. Now, Grandpa, read the story.
All right. Mary was contrary, so the storybooks all say. And in her little garden that she tended every day, she wouldn't plant a single thing like other people do, but mixed up all her vegetables and all her flowers, too. And one day, when it rained a lot, she simply wouldn't wear her rubbers when she went to pick some flowers for her hair. And she got stuck right in the mud where black-eyed Susans grew. But she'd forgotten until then that onions grew there, too. And as she stood there, dripping by the black-eyed Susan's side, she soon found out the reason why the black-eyed Susans cried. And since she'd planted pepper plants right by the nosegay beds, she found out why the nosegays nearly sneezed off all their heads. And then when Mary walked away, to her surprise, she found she had to leave her slippers planted firmly in the ground. But it was worth the loss, because poor Mary learned that day how wrong she'd been to ever make her garden grow that way. And now, from bells to cockle shells and pretty maidens, too, she makes her little garden grow like other people do. The flowers all look happier and nicer than before. For Mary's not contrary about gardens anymore.
Yes, folks, the treat of the week for any youngster is a Hallmark doll. They're greeting cards, but more, they're eight color-bright dolls from the land of make-believe. Mary Quite Contrary, Boy Blue, Cinderella are just a few. They stand 8 inches tall, look as pretty from the front as the back, and what makes them extra fun is the gay story rhyme inside. So send Hallmark dolls. They're only 25 cents each. See them soon, send them often to every youngster you know. And now, back to the no-account loafer. When Bob Martin got out of jail the next morning, someone was waiting for him. And that someone
was Mr. Shugart, the principal of the high school.
Good morning, Bob.
Oh, morning, Mr. Shugart.
I understand you had quite a time last night.
Yes, I reckon I ate something that didn't agree with me.
Don't you remember the speech you made up on Party Row?
Oh, nobody listened to them fool speeches of mine. I never say nothing.
Yeah, you did last night. I was up when you came by my door.
Well, I didn't say nothing about you, did I? Think you're a fine man, Mr. Shugart.
A fine man and a woodlouse.
You hurt me.
Every word.
Well, I didn't mean nothing personal, you understand. I just said the first thing that come to my mind. Besides, a woodlouse is a very clean animal.
Now, look here, Bob. I want to straighten you out on two accounts. First of all, I'm not responsible for the way Belle Thompson and a few of the others treated your daughter. I haven't any jurisdiction over private parties.
I understand, sir.
And second, I think your Sally is one of the most brilliant girls I've seen in a long time.
How's that?
She's far and away the brightest student in the senior class, and her marks have consistently proved it.
Well, I'm mighty proud to hear that, Mr. Shugart.
Well, you should be, Bob, because Sally's a fine girl. And what's more, I've just had word that she's won first prize in a state scholarship examination.
Scholarship? What's that?
The chance to go to college, with all expenses paid.
You mean Sally can go to one of them school places in the state or pay her way?
Exactly.
Well, I'll be doggone. She must be just about the smartest girl in this here county.
In many counties, Bob.
Gosh almighty, I can't believe it. Sally going to college with all the rich folks on Quality Row, and her pa ain't nothing but a frog hollow loafer.
I can't go to college, even with a scholarship.
You talk nonsense, girl. You gotta go. I told everybody in town about it.
But you can't afford to send her away, Paul. The fee only pays the college expenses. Won't buy no clothes.
Or any of the other things a girl needs when she's away at school.
Don't you worry about that, Sally. I'll buy you all the clothes you need.
With what?
With money, by gosh.
Money? Land sakes, you ain't got enough money to buy a safety pin.
Then I'll make it, by gosh. Give me Christmas. If she's smart enough to win a scholarship, I reckon her pa's smart enough to buy a few measly dresses.
She don't want measly ones.
I'll be a good one. I'm smart enough for that, too.
Yeah, you're smart enough, only you ain't suffer from head trouble. It's all over your body.
Never you mind. I can make a living just the same as anybody else.
Not without working.
Work don't scare me none.
Always has before.
Ma. What's the good of arguing about it? I don't want to go to college anyway. I don't even want to go to the high school graduation.
Sally.
Well, I don't. They'll only make fun of us, Pa.
They will in a pig's eye. You'll be the prettiest girl there, honey. And Ma and Pa won't shame you none either. I'll be working at the mill by then.
What?
You heard me, didn't you? I seen about that job this morning.
I don't believe it.
But you could just wait and see. Now that Sally's going to college, I gotta live up to it, don't I? After all, I have to uphold my standing in the community.
Oh, Pa.
You bet I do. Now on, I am gonna shave every other day. For the first time in 15 years, I'm gonna start wearing a tie.
Hey, Bob. What's this I hear about you working at the mill?
That's right. Couldn't go on peddling fish no more, not with a daughter going to college.
Yeah, but you, worker, how can you do it?
Well, I'm learning, my friend. I'm a learning. In fact, Sally and I is both getting a higher education.
Doggone it, Bob. What in Sam Hill you paint your house for?
Just sprucing up a bit, Dad. Got to get after them elm trees, too. They're coming down with a blight.
Well, gosh almighty, man. This is Frog Hollow, not Quality Road.
I know it. Sally's home for the summer now, and she's got to have a fit place to live in. After all, the girl's a sophomore. Just a second. Oh.
Well, good evening, Mr. Shugart. It's a pleasure to see you again.
It's nice to see you, Bob. May I come in for a moment?
Certainly. Sally ain't home just now, but...
Oh, that's all right. I wanted to speak to you.
Oh, come right in. Hey, what's on your mind, sir?
Elm trees. Nothing but elm trees. There won't be any left if we don't do something about them.
How's that?
They're dying, Bob. All over town, they're dying.
Oh.
Seems to be some kind of blight around that nobody knows anything about. Except you.
Oh, me, shucks. I don't know nothing about...
You know enough to take care of the trees on your own property. They're the only ones in town that aren't infected. What do you do to them?
Just trim off the dead branches and give them a little spray.
Well, that's what we've been doing for weeks now. And it hasn't any effect. We've had botany teachers working on it, too.
Well, it ain't no trick at all if you got the right kind of spray.
That's just it. We want you to use your spray on every elm tree in town.
What?
And if you can save them, I'll see that you get a promotion at the mill.
Oh, you don't have to do that, Mr. Shugart. Just for mixing up a little spray. Oh, it ain't nothing but sulfur water and lime.
Sulfur water and lime? Ooh, we tried that.
And it didn't work?
No.
Well, kind of ashamed to admit it with the girl going to college and all, but I always add a little something extra.
What?
Tobacco juice.
I'll be gone.
Ma! Omar! Ma, are you home?
Goodness sakes, man, don't shout so.
It worked. That spray of mine worked like a charm. The leaves ain't turning brown no more.
Well, what are you all head up for? They ain't your trees.
You don't understand, Ma. Mr. Elkins is going to give me a new job at the mill, taking care of company gardens and grounds.
Sure enough?
You bet your life. I could start a week from Monday at $100 a month.
Well, I never would have believed
it. Doggone it, Ma. We'll get rich on that. Rich, I tell you, if we save it up.
We'll save it, Pa. And by the time Sally gets out of college, we'll have enough for a new house.
A new one, Ma. But I guarantee you this, it won't be no shack in Frog Holler.
By the time Sally graduated from college, a new home was ready. And as the years went by, Bob Martin went on to a better job and a more respected place in the community. At his suggestion, the mill offered prizes for the best-looking gardens in town. And as a result of this contest, the appearance of the entire community was considerably improved. Unfortunately, however, it made Frog Hollow more of an eyesore than ever.
Gentlemen, I'm not much on city planning, and I've never been to a council meeting before, but I tell you one thing, this town ain't ever going to look right till we do something about those shacks over in Frog Holler.
Well, what can we do, Bob?
Tear them down, Mr. Shugart. Tear them down and build new houses in their place. Build a playground, too, over those swamplands. Give the kids a chance to keep out of mischief.
Yeah, but good heavens, man, do you realize what a project like that would cost?
Wouldn't cost nothing when you stop to figure what it'd be worth.
Yeah, but that's an enormous job, Mr. Martin. There's land to be reclaimed.
There's people to be reclaimed, too. People ain't never had a chance to do anything for themselves or anybody else. Those people are worth investing in, Mr. Larkin.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do. From personal experience. When a man's down, you got to give him a reason for getting up. You got to give him a stake in life, or he ain't ever going to do anything or be anything but a no-account loafer.
But, Bob, how can we raise the money?
We'll raise it all right. We got a mind to. And them Frog Holler loafers will pay it back every cent.
Well, I think he's right.
Well, I do, too, if we can handle the finances.
We'll get the money, Mr. Shugart. It may take us a long while, but we'll raise it no matter how long it takes. My land, if I could send a girl to college, this town can build a playground.
It took a while to raise that money, but eventually the shacks of Frog Hollow were torn down and a community playground took their place.
And with sincere gratitude to Bob Martin and all the men and women who made this occasion possible, I hereby declare our playground officially open to the children of this township.
fella, Paul?
Down at the bandstand, showing her fella where we used to live.
Land sake.
Remember it, Ma? You remember the old shack?
I say I do. You used to sleep all day right down there underneath that tree.
You would remember that.
Oh, now I'm just joshing you, Paul. You ought to be mighty proud of yourself.
Yeah, I reckon. We've come a long way from Frog Hollow when you stop to think about it. Looking back now, it don't even seem possible. All them weeds growing out in the front yard, junk out back, broken window panes. Gosh almighty, how'd we ever get out of there? Huh, Ma? Ma, here's the thing I said.
I was thinking of what I heard a fellow say a minute ago. The new manager of the mill, Paul. He was talking about you.
Yeah, what'd he say?
Said you were a fine old southern gentleman. A real aristocrat. From the old South.
A real aristocrat from the old South. Well, I'll be doggone. If Sally hadn't gotten that scholarship, I'd still be a no-account loafer.
Thanks, Will Gear, for bringing Pa to us tonight. You made him really live. And thank you, Evelyn Varden, for your performance as Ma. You know, I have an idea if you went back to Frog Hollow, you'd find Pa right now, for all his success, sitting out under that tree again, thinking, maybe, as he watches people walking too fast and talking too much, that maybe once in a while it's a good thing for a man to be a loafer. Folks, send a Hallmark doll to your youngsters every week. Buy them, too, for children's party favors. Gain new place cards. Or use whole sets of these dolls for exciting party prizes. Yes, for any occasion, buy Hallmark dolls. The price? Only 25 cents apiece. Remember, buy Hallmark dolls where you buy your Hallmark cards. This is Les Tremaine inviting you to be with us again next week. At that time, you will hear a truly unforgettable story about truly unforgettable people. The people who make up one of the most exciting, glamorous, heartbreaking businesses in the world, show business. You'll meet singers, dancers, and deadpan comics. You'll hear their songs, their routines, and their jokes. And then, you'll meet Catherine, an ingenue, 1 month old. So be sure to be with us next week when we raise a gaily painted curtain on another fine dramatic program presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and take you deep in the heart of showbiz. Tonight's drama was adapted by Robert Sloan from W.E. Woodward's article, Frog Hollow's No-Account Loafer, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Hugh Conover speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Stay tuned for Herbert Marshall in The Man Called X, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.